Welcome in to Monday Mailbag with Nick Patrick. I'm your co-host, Cassio. How are you doing today, Mr. Patrick?
I'm doing great, Cassio. Good to see you, man. You're doing all right?
I am doing fantastic. We've got a packed show, tons of questions, and we're going memories, we're going what ifs, and we've got some sports questions as well. So we've got a loaded show, and you said you've got announcements, and you said you were going to give us some announcements. Are you want to give them now, or do you want to tease some? Or you want to split them up?
Beginning what do you think would be best? Because I got some. My announcements this time are really pretty cool. We waited for a while, so you tell me. What do you think was best? I think let's hold off for a little while. Let's hold off for a little while so we can. That'll be the last thing they hear. So the last thing they hear, they'll know what they want, what's cool is going on, man.
It is. You told me before we started recording, and I was going to say it is super, super cool.
All right.
Thing that's happening at Deep South Wrestling. So we'll get to that at the end, and be ready for that. We're going to get to your questions. We always appreciate you interacting with us. If you've got a question, wherever you listen to this, go ahead and drop it in that comment section, and we will get your question on the next episode. If we don't get to it this time, I think we're going to pack these in, though. We're going to hang out today. Adam Krasnoff is going to start us off. Nick?
Hello. How you doing, Adam?
Adam's got a couple questions. He says, Nick, with WCW's Road Wild events taking place at the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, a location quite different from the typical arena, were there any logistical challenges you faced regarding hotels, transportation to the venue, or the venue itself?
Yeah, all those things were an issue because hotels were all booked up and way in advance. You know, so you know, the company ended up that we, you know, the company got hotels for us, and thank goodness. But they were out away from the actual. It was like about an hour ride into to where we actually did the venue. But it was man, that was a really cool experience, though. And you know, it was worth the hassle because of the coolness of the experience. Yeah. You know, so what little bit of hassle, you know, it was something that that some people want to see all their lives don't get a chance to. And I got to see it three times, man. And and have my hotel paid for and my rental car paid for. So it was sweet for me, you know. And
I was going to ask, there wasn't a shuttle that you had to just drive your own vehicle in for an hour?
No, they didn't shuttle us in and out. They had a special parking for us. We had to drive ourselves in.
Oh, nice. Okay.
The only time we ever had shuttles was when we was down there doing those Disney shows and working at Universal Studios and at Disney. We had shuttles, you know, back and forth from, because sometimes their parking was out, you know, and, but other than that, they have areas, designated areas in close for us to get in close.
All right. Adam also says, Nick, considering the often negative portrayal of Jim Herd's tenure in WCW, how would you describe your professional relationship with him? Were there any positive aspects or experiences to working alongside him that are often overlooked or misunderstood?
I never was around him a whole lot, honestly, but my family experience was actually pretty good with him because he liked my dad a lot. And he respected my dad. He knew my dad was one of the old timers that was around from the day that he'd watched and seen him there for years and knew that he'd worked in the office and had booked and done, you know, had done things, you know, and had worked at the level. So he trusted him and he liked him. And Pop had a run-in with Flair. And if you ever read any of Pop's stuff, you can tell Pop was not a Flair fan at all, man. And it made me not for a long time. You know, I let all that go, you know, but Flair was going to try and get Pop fired because he was trying to pull some power play. And I think he was trying to slip one of his buddies into Pop's spot, you know? And so Pop was already a Turner employee. He wasn't a WCW employee.
Oh, okay.
So Jim Herd let Flair know that Pop was there to stay and he could get as pissed off as he wanted, but he'd just have to get over it because he was a Turner employee and blah, blah, blah. And that as long as he was there, Jody Hamilton had a job.
Wow.
You know, so he put Flair in check, which to me was, you know, it kept us from having to do it. So
yeah,
it was good.
All right. Adam Krasnoff, he's got one more for us. He says, Doug Dillinger was known as WCW's head of security. Can you share any amusing or memorable stories involving Doug Dillinger that fans might not have heard before? One time, my friend got ejected from a WCW show because Doug asked him to flip his ECW shirt inside out, but then later he boldly flipped his shirt back. And that's when Doug Dillinger kicked him out.
Yeah. Doug had his select people that he liked, and he kind of looked down on everybody else. You know,
as in the boys?
Within the business. He liked Flair and Steamboat, and you know, the Charlotte crew guys that he was familiar with. And he kind of, you know, and a lot of people didn't like him, you know, but a lot of people don't like, you know, different, you know, he had a different position, but I got along okay with him. You know, we wasn't buddies, wasn't chummy. It's not like, you know, we'd ever go out of the way to do anything for each other. But as far as, I don't really have any funny stories about him. I thought it was very cool that, you know, cause he was somebody that I knew, and he has a story of him and one of his partners was doing some kind of detail. And they actually saw a UFO in Charlotte. And had to report it. They had to report it and do all the, you know, investigation and all kind of stuff, man.
What?
Yeah. And he told me the story about it, which I thought was just like ultimately really cool, you know, because Doug may have been an ass, but he wasn't a liar. You know what I mean?
That's a big difference from saying you saw a UFO to actually reporting it. You know,
he had to be interviewed. Him and his partner and the whole deal, and it came up like on the radar from the Charlotte airport and stuff, you know, and they were like, we're looking at it right now. And he said every move they moved, that thing did the same thing, and it was gone. And they had, you know, I got chill bumps talking about that.
Wow.
but I thought that was a really cool story. But there really isn't anything funny about Doug that I could tell.
No, but that's a super cool
story.
He wasn't like a sense of humor
kind of guy, you know. I thought that story was very cool.
Yeah, I've never heard it. So that meant his question was anything we might not have heard before. But that's a wild story right there. I'd love to.
Whole blow by blow, you know, would be.
Yeah, that's pretty fascinating. By the way, before we move on too long, I think I buried the easy question that would have been fun. I should have asked, what was like your first wild or some memorable wild moment when you started going to Sturgis? When was it like, okay, this is as crazy as it's supposed to be?
It was, there's a lot of topless happening out there, you know, which is not bad, you know.
There we go.
So they made me put my shirt back on. No, no, but I thought that was pretty cool. And I thought what the coolest thing to me is one time after one of our gigs, Lynyrd Skynyrd was playing at the Buffalo Fairgrounds, and Mickey J is friends with their tour manager. So, boom, we were right in the orchestra pit, man. I was standing right there leaning on the stage watching Lynyrd Skynyrd, man.
How about that?
And then we got to meet all of them after the set, which was really cool.
Incredible.
So, yeah, that was my big highlight of the story. I mean, getting out and seeing all the sites that are around there, you know, Deadwood and Mount Rushmore and all that stuff, you know, it's very cool. But getting to meet Lynyrd Skynyrd like that to me was, was just badass, man.
Did you from your viewpoint, did the crowd seem enthusiastic or less than an enthusiastic, a normal wrestling crowd, or were they more rowdy?
They were a little more rowdy. They weren't your normal wrestling crowd because they were straight up bike. You know, they were there for the bike deal, but they, you know, they were all familiar with wrestling, because we have wrestling as a broad, you know, scope of fans, you know, so, you know, we had fans, you know, they were a little more hardcore than our regular crowd, you know, but they, you know, they've been into what we did, you know. If you ever watched Booker T's interview about it, and he said him and Stevie Ray with him were the only two black guys in the whole entire town, except for maybe a vendor somewhere. Yeah, that started to get a little out of hand, because they got all revved up and they started throwing rocks and shit because the man in the parking lot, they had, you know, people parking on big ass rocks and there, the rocks were everywhere, you know, and they were picking them up and chucking them. So it got that part got out a little hand. They had to kind of settle it down. But the, you know, after that, everything, it was cool. And that's when I did my first real heel turn, was started at one of the Sturgis deals when Lex went to, I forgot who he was working with, but he went to rack somebody and they had him clip, his legs clipped me and I went back against the ropes and I fell and took Lex's knee out
Fell. I forgot that was at Sturgis.
That was the beginning of the Nick Patrick heel turn happened at one of the Sturgis shows too.
That'd be fun to go back and watch. I haven't seen that in a while. That'd be fun to go back and watch that, knowing that's the moment actually. Also, speaking of Sturgis and Doug Dillinger, did you ever, as a referee, have to? You talked about the one guy that jumped in the ring and you kicked him. And has there ever been somebody else where you just pointed at him and said, "Hey, we need this person gone"?
No, not got just at my show the other day.
That's great.
Really not so much because security, we had a security team.
They're on top
of it. By the time we're in WCW and WWE days, we have a security team that's there and it's their job. And if too much crap gets through, then they're going to have a different security team there. So we didn't really have to do a lot. They really didn't want us to try to keep lawsuits down, you know, because we go jumping out there and hit somebody and all of a sudden, and we didn't have to. You know, it's they kind of wanted us to stay out of it. You know, so we would just have to defend ourselves. Yeah. You know, and if we was into a point where we had to defend ourselves and they had got my security, then they didn't do their job. So that didn't really, you know, at that point in time, it didn't. There was only a couple that got through, you know, honestly. Okay. And they got tackled. And it didn't happen while I was out there, you know. So I seen Randy Anderson tackle one of them.
Nobody ever screamed like your mama's fat and you told them to kick out or throw a drink at you or anything? No.
No, man.
All right, making sure. Tony Flowers wants to know. He said, "What's up, guys?" Well, what's up, Tony? He said, "Nick, did you ever referee a match where the finish, as in who wins, was changed during the match?"
Yeah, but it was done as a rib.
Oh.
And it was an early match. It was like a dark match that they were recording, but they were recording it. And I forgot who was even in it, but the babyface was supposed to put the heel over and they did a big high spot and the heel just laid there and kept it held onto the babyface. And man, I counted it. The babyface went over and he was like, he knew he was supposed to do the job. He was like, I forgot who it was too. Yeah, cause they've done that. It's an old rib, right?
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
And the babyface, young green ass babyface, just like, oh God, you know, and you're raising your hand and they're like, oh God, you know, instead of celebrating, they're like, oh shit. You know,
they think everybody's going to think they did it on purpose.
That's happened a couple of times, but it's a rib. But there has been one or two times that there was a couple of towns that they wanted to see who they took as the baby face or who they took as the heel. And I can't remember a specific instance, but I know it's
happened. So they just fill out what the crowd was cheering for?
They was going to see, okay, if they roll this way, let's do this. And if they roll that way, then let's do that.
That's kind of a fun way to do it, isn't it?
Yeah. I love having audibles.
Yeah, it gives you guys a little bit heightened excitement because you're having to play off
more freedom.
Yeah,
more freedom to dig in there and see what they're buying, you know.
That's fun. Bobby KF5 GTX said, when starting a promotion, what departments are crucial at the beginning? Is it legal, talent relations, merchandising, social media, finance? What is the big crucial departments when you're first starting a promotion?
Finance. You don't have that. You don't have any of the other things. You know, or you're out there generating your own income.
Yeah.
You know, which is like what Deep South is doing. You know, I didn't start with a bunch of money. I had a little bit, you know, not a lot, you know, but, you know, we're going out and generating our stuff, you know, so finance is first and foremost, but if you don't have that, you don't have any of those other things. And then after that, everything else is equally important, you know, because if you're lacking, if you lack in any of those areas, it throws you out of sync. You know, it's like a machine, a car. If one part goes out, it throws the whole thing out of whack, you know, and that's the best way I can describe it, you know.
AKA why it's really hard to start a sustainable wrestling promotion.
Oh, man.
And
yeah,
grow it, and survive.
Yeah. You got to bite the bullet for about the first year or two, you know, and realize that if you can get it to where you're breaking even and have content and still able to go and it's not in your pocket, then you're doing pretty good. You know, and
you're going to have to fight to get there.
Yeah. And then after you get there and you start getting recognized, then you're able to get sponsors then but you have to prove yourself to get sponsors. And until you prove yourself, you're biting that bullet, you know? So, but that's the deal. Unless you start off and you've got finances or you've got a backer, then finances is your number one thing. And then all those other things are equally important, but they come after that.
Josh Rosenbaum, Coach Rosie. Thank you, Coach, for chiming in. He said, Nick, if you took Cassio out for a night with the boys in WCW, what would it look like? What bar or club would you go to? And the best places to get him a rat. Now, Coach, that's awful. He said, of course, this would be his pre-wife era. first of all, let's just go with this. What's it like going to hang with Nick Patrick after an event?
Young Nick Patrick or old Nick Patrick?
Young Man, Nick
there's
Patrick.
A drastic change.
Prime Neil Patrick. And Nick
Young
Patrick.
Nick Patrick, well, we would find out what was happening, you know, what clubs were happening, if there was any music, what was going on, you know, in town, and we'd go check it out, man. Find out what restaurants are hot, because I like when you're traveling, if you can't eat clean, at least eat good. You know, and if you've got a little, you know, I like finding good places that you could, you know, look forward to. As far as party towns, man, we didn't do a whole lot of, you know, I mean, clubs, it was different. You know, different towns had different themes. If you went to the beach, there was beach clubs that you'd want to check out, you know, Florida and all the way up the coast, you know, and there was different towns that had, you know, different strip clubs that were hot. You know, some of them were just hole in the wall, but they were cool and fun, you know.
You know, you can have fun there.
Yeah, hell, and it's hard to say, you know, what would you do if it was Nick Patrick? Man, it depends on what city I was in. You know, if I was in Atlanta, and to be honest with you, it's funny, Atlanta's my home, so I didn't go out and do a whole lot in Atlanta. I'm home.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying, okay, hey, stay home, honey. I got to go out and hang out with the boys at the club, you know. Yeah, that'd get over. Yeah, that did happen when I was in my early 20s. But I had to learn the hard way, yeah. Like most of us all do.
Exactly. Exactly. I'll tell you this. Based on where I'm at now, I would like to go out with current Nick Patrick, where we're eating some barbecue and drinking a beer, and that's not going to be. That's old Nick Patrick. That's going to be a win.
Old Nick Patrick would have took you out on International. It was Stewart Avenue back in the day. It's International Avenue now, and we'd have hit D Ford's. It was wide open rock and roll club, but fights every night.
Heck yeah!
And once we closed out D Ford's, we'd have went to the Crystal Palace, which is where all the dancers and everybody that after they got, that was the all night place that stayed open. That one, that's the place that when you went out to your car, it was daylight. You're like, oh yes. God. Oh
all
God.
The service industry people that just got off.
I don't even want food at this point. It's daylight.
And just a bed.
I'm dying like a freaking vampire here. Yeah. And I got to get out of the daylight.
I mean, liquid and darkness real fast.
Yes. And coolness.
Well, yeah. A lot of coolness. All right. Thank you for that, Coach. Greg Jacobson, who I always say is the mayor of Knoxville, but that's Greg Jacobs. He says, hey, gents. That's Glenn Jacobs. He said, hey, gents, I would love to hear from both of you on this. Where were you and who were you with the night of the infamous O.J. Simpson white Bronco chase?
Wow, I don't even remember who I was with.
If I remember correctly, I think it was on an Easter Sunday.
What year was that? I'd have to know what year it was.
I believe it was 94.
94. Okay, if it was 94, I was working with WCW, and I know that I watched it on TV, but I don't remember if I watched it from because that was not like a significant moment in my life. You know what I mean? I thought that was like, damn, that's crazy as shit. You know, it didn't like impact me to where I'm going to mark this date down.
And I was June 17th, 1994. Yeah.
Well, I was doing something with WCW. There ain't no telling. But I do remember seeing it on TV. I just don't know if I was home or if I was watching it from my hotel room.
Okay, so I just looked it up. That was, I said Easter. That would have been a Sunday of Father's Day.
Sunday, Father's Day. Well, holidays didn't matter. You know,
we were still going.
No, yeah, especially Father's Day. Oh, Father's Day. We can make money on Father's Day.
Have the fathers out.
We got a special Father's Day show.
Yes, exactly. I remember there because I was at the family, you know, Father's Day at the grandfather's house.
Uh-huh.
That's why it sticks out to me as a holiday. Yeah. Is I normally, if you were just watching on TV, you might not remember, but on that one, we were all fascinated in the house together.
Yeah.
And then we've got some questions by Carl Hayes. We're going to wrap us up. He's got a handful of them for us.
Okay.
He says, playoff times are here, boys. Will you be watching along with NHL or NBA, or do you more sit back and enjoy baseball? What's your mix? And he says, go Bruins.
I've started watching a little bit of NBA again. I've started watching the Hawks again. I didn't watch them for a long time, but I'm starting to watch the Hawks again. But my Nick is such a baseball fan that we follow every Braves game, every pitch, every pregame, every postgame, So I'll be watching a whole bunch of Braves coming up. And then they're looking damn good so far this year. You know, but they did that last year. They looked friggin' awesome. And then they had time off, you know, to rest up. And they got out of sync during that time off and come back out and laid an egg. Them and L.A. both and come out and laid an egg, man.
A little bit of what I got going on with podcasts and everything else. It's hard to kind of get in a rhythm with any of the nights. But I will say, if I had to rank what I would watch the most right now, it would be the NBA playoffs since we're in the playoffs. And then baseball would be second. I'm not opposed to NHL. I'll watch it if I'm finally sitting on the couch and I look.
Yeah, if Nick flips to it, and he does, you know, I'll watch some of it, you know. And
I'd be like, ooh.
But I don't really have a favorite team or anything, you know. I do watch it a little bit because I know Gemma Jules has some favorite teams, and I like to rib her. I know she hates the Panthers, so I'm always like, go Panthers. And if I can, you know, anytime, if I could get a Panthers shirt or a Panthers flag or something, I just to dig at her, you know. But because her dad was a big hockey player for Toronto.
Oh,
and,
that's where she gets her height and size.
Yeah, yeah, he was a fighter. He was the guy that was at the fights. He's the one that they brought him in and said, we brought you in to fight.
Nice. The goon, baby. Yeah,
he was a badass, you know.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, but that's where she got her deal from. That's why she body checks people into the corner sometimes.
Heck yeah. Carl, this was a good one. He said, so much has changed over the years, not just for the wrestlers, but for the refs, too. There's something you see today's referees doing that you like and or wish you had the chance to do back in the day?
Not really. They seem to, you know, everything seems to be pretty much straightforward. I know one thing that they don't do that WWE doesn't do. It's like when guys, it's the double down thing. Remember back in the day, and I was always so used to the old school days when guys were both down and they're both down selling. Eventually, the ref starts to count, you know, they're going to make it to their feet first, you know, fight to count. But they won't let you do that in WWE. If you notice, guys, two guys are down, they're not going to do the double count. You know, I don't understand why. And somebody didn't like it, and they just kept it out. And I think it was Kevin Dunn that didn't like it. But so he's not there anymore. So I'm anxious to see now they're not calling it sports entertainment anymore. And, you know, there are different changes that, you know, maybe that might be one of the little subtle changes, because to me, that takes away the drama of that adds to the drama of a double down. Yeah. When guys, you know, the one who's going to make it to their feet first, you know, and they fight, you know, it's just so much. It just adds to story. And I don't know why they didn't like it. But if you watch WWE and you see two guys down, you watch, they won't do a double count. And if they do, it'll be top guys that went and got it cleared.
That's very interesting. That's fun to see your referee mind doing that. I would have never, ever picked up on that. But now that you say it, I'm like, I don't remember a bunch, and now I want to pay attention to it to see if I see it, because I mean, you mentioned it like that. I haven't seen them. That's very interesting. I'd love to check that out and see if that's a real thing going on. No double down counts. Very good eye.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was really uncomfortable with when I got there. And it was okay for the guy to come off the top rope and do something that wasn't illegal. You wasn't going to disqualify him, but they wanted you to stand there and do all this shit like you was, you know, like you're trying to get him to not do it.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Well, why the hell not if it's not illegal?
It's not illegal, you know? Yeah.
I mean, go ahead, squash his ass. It's not illegal. But, oh, no, don't do this. You know, I didn't get that either. You know, but, you know, it's your job, and you do what they want you to do. You know, but those are two things that I just didn't quite get, you know.
That's interesting.
And I think they still kind of do that a little bit. But I think that it was all some old Kevin Dunn bullshit. So I mean, as you can tell, I'm
so
not
you can
a
get a
Kevin
shot.
Dunn
yeah,
guy. Yeah. I've never have been a big Kevin Dunn guy. Never will be.
And last one by Carl, a good one as well. He says, Nick, if you could have called any match at this year's WrestleMania, which one would it have been?
They had some great matches, but really this is kind of an easy answer for me. And I'm not just saying it because it was the main event of the whole deal. I say it because I loved doing tag team matches. And back in the day, and back even when I was in WWE, man, I'd volunteer. I mean, a lot of the guys weren't comfortable doing tag team matches, but I loved it because you're always doing something, you know. And I knew how to do the timing to let guy. I could have the feel of knowing how long to stand there and let somebody get heat behind your back without them all of a sudden not being mad at them anymore and they're mad at you because you look freaking stupid. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, those are little things that, you know, little nuances that, you know, that you have to know. But I love doing tag matches. And that main event tag match with The Rock.
With The Rock. And
that would have been the one that I picked. Yeah.
That's why I
love doing tag matches because it was, and because of the magnitude of it, man, that was the biggest thing in modern wrestling for a long, you know, and for this generation for sure.
And it set up night two for Cody to get that belt. So it set it up.
Yeah.
And that had to happen.
Massive storytelling and action. And I think Chad Patton had that match, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so. Yeah.
And lucky him, man. That's classic. He got to be part of wrestling history. Good for him, man.
That's awesome.
He's a good kid too. I like him.
That you worked with him a little bit?
I worked with Chad. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
He was there. He was green, but he was working. He did ring crew and reffing when I was there. But I've noticed he's still riding that wave like Charles Robinson. So gotta give it to him, man. That's a hard wave to ride, man.
Do you know any of the AEW refs? Like, have you ever interacted with any of them?
No, I don't know any of these young kids. Okay, I'm an old timer, man. I don't know any of the new young
so
kids.
Charles and those two that you just mentioned, those are the only two that you've worked with the current WWE crew?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I'm almost positive they're the only two left that I worked with. Yeah. There ain't a whole lot of wrestlers that I left that I worked with either. Mysterio, Randy Orton. Yeah, that's about the only two I can really think of. You know,
yeah, besides some spot, active, you know, run-in spots. Yeah,
yeah, run-in every, you know, that show up, you know, the active on the roster guys, you know, that are.
Did you ever work with Kofi?
Yeah, he was a Deep South guy in McDonough when Papa was running Deep South. Yeah. Yeah, he came from there. Yeah, I worked with Kofi.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking there was a tie-in there from somewhere. I forgot. And also, when this airs, of course, this is Monday, April 22nd, and one of the birthdays that were around this day, Nick, I wanted to know if you had a good Brutus the Barber Beefcake story.
Don't really have a good story about him.
I knew him.
I knew him and I worked with him, but I didn't hang around him a whole lot. You know, whenever we was at TVs, he was hanging out with Hulk or doing his own thing. Super nice guy. You know, I wasn't that I didn't like him. It's just that, you know, we had different circles that we ran. And I don't really have any funny stories about it. Everything was just pretty much a business relationship with Brutus. But he was a super nice guy. And I always felt terrible when he got his face crushed in that parasailing gimmick. Man, that was friggin' horrifying.
That's a game changer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a game changer for somebody's entire life. Also, there's a couple of wrestlers who I want to get to as well while we're here, because I don't know if you actually worked with them or not. Did you ever work with Eric Bischoff's son, Garrett?
No, but I knew him as a little boy, man. He was a super nice
running
kid.
Around?
Yeah, running around. He used to run around with Hulk's kid. And that dude, they would be playing with skateboards and stuff, man. And he was just a super nice, really polite guy. You know, when I had my interview with Eric, I told him that, too. I said, you know, I asked how the kid was doing because I seen that he was working some, you know. And he was just always super nice and super polite. And, you know, Eric did a good job on that one.
Yeah, Garrett, I love seeing Garrett. I talked to him. We text back and forth. Great dude. That's why I wanted to see if he ever got a chance when he got a little bit older.
No, I don't know him as a man. Just knew him as a kid.
What about Johnny the Bull?
Johnny the Bull? Yeah, I knew Johnny the Bull.
Johnny the
I was
Bull,
an agent.
Just celebrated.
Johnny the Bull. Man, I got a story with Johnny the Bull, man. I was an agent back in WCW, and he wanted to do this spot where he jumped in, did a springboard off the top, and dropped his leg across the guy. So when he told me about it, he was doing it from the apron into the ring. Well, without telling me, he changed it and put the guy out on the floor, springboarded off, and went and dropped his leg across the guy from the ropes out to the floor and hurt himself bad.
Whoa.
And I was the agent for it, and I'm supposed to know what's going on, and he just freelanced it this shit on his own. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. He was supposed to have done that in the ring, not on the freaking floor, you know? And they're like, well, what happened there, Nick? You know, yes, I could do that on the floor. That'd be great. Yeah, jeez. Yeah, run a spike up your nose. That'd be awesome. Great television.
Oh,
yeah, but he hurt himself really bad doing that, you know. But he's a super nice guy too. And he was one of those, that young group of guys. I felt kind of bad for that young group of guys because every one of them had a chance to get over, but they tried to push all of them at the same time. And it's hard to get 12 guys over at the same time.
Yeah.
And only one maybe will catch. You know, the others will be, you know, you can do something with, and they can become part of the story, and some might make it upper, some might make it middle, some might just be on the bottom. You know, everybody's got to have their own path, but it's hard to, you know, if you're going to try to get a group of them over, you got to pick which ones you want and focus your attention on getting them over. And they were all put out there to see who would get over on their own. And when you're young and green like that, it's hard to get over on your own without the help of writing and agent booking. You know, you have to have all these things in play for you. And those kids didn't have that. It was like they was throwing everything they could up against the wall to see what would stick instead of focusing on different characters and building them and grooming them to give them a chance to become moneymakers.
That was a tough time. He is a power plant guy. I also read one time he tore his bladder during a match.
Yeah, that might have been when he did the deal.
Yeah. That was probably
That was the deal. Yeah, he got hurt, man. I said, what the F are you doing, man?
Yeah.
Well, I said, why didn't you tell me what that? I said, I would have told you, hell no. There's no way. He said, oh, no, man. I said, I just wanted to do it. Well, now you're going to the hospital. See you later, bro.
Oh, my gosh.
The dumbass, man. But super nice guy. And I say dumbass, I don't get hot, you know, because he'll have to say, he would have to admit that was stupid. Okay. if he hadn't figured that out by now, then he is a dumbass.
Okay? He probably did not do it again.
No. That's one that's been scratched from the repertoire.
All right. And now this is the big moment. We've got all your questions. Appreciate y'all chiming in. This is a super cool announcement. You've been hoping this could come together. You've been working on it the last few shows, teasing us with the announcement. I'm excited because now you said today's the day. What do we got for, what do you got for us, Nick?
All right, man. My team has been really putting in the work, and they've got some cool stuff lined up. And right now, as of the month of May, Deep South Wrestling has 3 shows. Now, check out this first show that we're going to do on May the 3rd. We have joined up, and we're going to be with the Gwinnett Stripers as they take on the Durham Bulls at Cool Ray Stadium.
Whoa.
Deep South Wrestling is going to have 3 matches before the game starts, and then we're going to have a big battle royal at the end for $25,000 goes to the winner because we've had a bunch of sponsors kick in because this is a big deal, man. We're out there with the Gwinnett Stripers in Gwinnett County now and at Cool Ray Stadium. That's going to be on May the 3rd. That's our first show.
$25,000 prize.
Yeah. Now, that could, for a young kid that's breaking in and trying to get himself around and seen, you could, man, you can get you
for
some
an old podcast.
You can buy, yeah, man. Yeah. I might have to enter that damn thing myself. Man. I'm going there with my cane and hit somebody.
That way to turn heel again, win your own battle.
Hell yeah. That's a great heel turn, isn't it? All right. So May the 3rd, Gwinnett at the Stripers Durham Bulls game at Cool Ray Stadium. Then we got May 19th. We're coming back to Dos Barbecue. And, we, you know, we name each show. It's got a theme to it. And this one's Die Another Day. And we've ordered the matches. We don't have the matches all completely put together, but the people that we do have signed already is Skrilla the Great, Nauseousism, Jacob Johnson, and Tyson Maddox is back from Japan. He had this is his second that I know of, but it's the second one that since he's been with Deep South, and it was very successful for him again. He just got back, and he's going to be at that show on the 19th at Dos Barbecue.
You know, we've talked before how you've talked before about how much going over to Japan and wrestling can really the guys incredible experience and kind of speed up that learning curve.
Going to Europe too. Some of these kids are going to Germany and different places in England. It broadens your scope and your vision and your style. And it gets you seen on a global market. And let me pull this back up because we got one more. This last one is very cool, man. I got so tickled when my crew told me about this one. Heck, I'm going to keep putting in the wrong password here. But because this was like 10 minutes from my house, man. On May the 25th, we're coming to Camp Brewing in Hampton, Georgia, man. And I've been wanting to go there because I've got family and friends. All my friends have gone down to this place and checked it out and told me it was awesome. I just hadn't had a chance to go. But so now we're going to be doing
a show there.
Yeah, we got us a show there, man, on May the 25th. And it's our debut show there. So we're still putting the card together, but we're going to hit them hard. We're going to give them six really good matches on our debut show. So we're going May the 3rd in Gwinnett. We're going May the 19th at Dos Barbecue and May the 25th at Camp Brewing in Hampton, Georgia. So three shots for Deep South Wrestling in the month of May, guys.
All different venues, all different styles and atmospheres. It's going to be fun to watch that. Hey, let me ask, do you remember at any point in the history, did Deep South ever do any shows with any of the Braves affiliates or the Braves?
Not that I know of.
But this is a big moment.
Yes, it is. We've did stuff at Six Flags and different stuff, but never with one of the sports teams. Not ever.
And, that's going to be fun, man.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. It's going to be a lot of fun. And this is one of my shows. Big Nick's ready to go check it out. He's such a big baseball fan. So I'm going to have Big Nick there. We're going to have a couple guys, I think, singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I'm going to try and talk Nick into doing it with him.
Yeah.
When I used to take Nick to Braves games, we would always stand up during the seventh inning stretch, and we'd put our arm around his shoulder, and he'd put his around me, and we'd bob at him and sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. So he'll sing it, you know. And I've got my characters. I got Professor Payne and C-Dub, I believe, are going to be the ones to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I'm gonna try and see if I can get Big Nick to do
that.
That would
be fun, man.
Y'all, that would be so awesome, you know, because he's coming out of his shell. I told you, you know, there was a show maybe a year ago, maybe, that I took him to, and he'd never would ever climb into the ring, ever. I was presenting the Deep South title, and I had him walk out and carry it with me. We got out the ringside, and I looked at him, and then Eric Adams was in the ring already. I said, Nick, do you want to get in the ring and show the title? And I knew he was just going to say, you know. He went, yeah. And he handed me the belt, and he jumped right up and jumped in the ring. Like, I was like, holy crap. He did everything but jump over the friggin' top rope. You know, he just smooth. I was like, holy crap. So
that's
I rolled
awesome.
In there. Yeah, I gave him the belt, and he stood there, and he held it up and everything. So, yeah, it was a huge moment. So this is going to be huge for Deep South. Three shows in 1 month, and the deal with the Gwinnett Stripers is really off the chain. I'm really proud of my team, stuff that they've got lined up. And we've got more surprises coming even, too, but these are the ones that we can tell you about now.
It would be super cool if, you know, this started a relationship with the Braves as an entire, you know, system. They've got Rome is their other affiliate, and Gwinnett, And they're moving the other one from Mississippi to Columbus. Did you see that?
Oh yeah, because I know they had baseball in Columbus. I heard they were going there too. So those are all markets that when remember I talked earlier about when I get Atlanta strong, I want to expand. Yeah. Those are the places that I want to expand to.
That'll be a huge way to get in there.
Yes, sir. That's all kind of things that we're all keeping in mind and trying to herd together there, so to speak.
Well, that's awesome stuff. Everybody, you got to check it out. Mark your calendars. Make a trip to Atlanta. It's easy to get there, easy in and out, and you can see some good wrestling from Deep South Wrestling, which is, of course, historic wrestling promotion. And then you can see our buddy Nick Patrick. He'll say hey to you. He won't turn heel. Maybe he will. But
it depends.
It depends on what kind of night it is.
It depends on the kind of day I'm having.
You can check out Deep South on YouTube. You can go to their website. It's got all their links to their social media. WeAreDeepSouth.com. You can see the schedule. You can see their YouTube, their Facebook and Instagram, all of it there at WeAreDeepSouth. You can get that merch. Can you get that merch there yet? No, not yet.
I don't need to get it online, but if you get in touch with Kevin Longino on Facebook, he's got the stuff that we've got because we're reordering a lot of stuff. And he can tell you what we've got left in stock.
It's a super cool shirt, super cool logo. If y'all get a chance to go, that is a cool piece of wrestling merch to throw in your rotation. Nick, man, had a blast. Always have fun sitting down and getting to chat with you, brother.
Yeah, it's the most fun gig I ever had, man. Thanks, dude.
I'm so excited about these announcements, man.
I've been waiting to make them. I wanted to make sure that it was a done deal. I'm one of them folks that until the ink is signed and the money is transferred and everybody we're rolling now, man. Everything's good and everybody's starting to throw out their advertising. On Facebook, we put our first line of advertising out. And as of tomorrow, we've got a group of guys going up to Cool Ray Field to start cutting promos, to start plugging this thing. So check us out. You're going to be seeing a lot of new promos coming up. And Deep South is moving forward, man. We're making a mark on independent wrestling in the state of Georgia and in the city of Atlanta.
Big month for Deep South. Hopefully the first of many, even bigger months to come for Deep South. And we all appreciate y'all chiming in with this every other week. Want to say thanks to Carl Hayes, Greg Jacobson, Coach Rosie, Bobby KF5, GTX, Adam Krasnov, Tony Flowers. Appreciate all of y'all for dropping your questions in. And when you're listening to this, go ahead and send us a question in the comment section below. And Nick will answer your question live here in 2 weeks on Monday Mailbag with Mr. Nick Patrick.
So all right.
Stay mashed.